Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for quality 17702. And of course, we also have a co-broadcast stream on twitch.tv/SFU on call. So if you want to join us there, you can join us there. Obviously, also we post the videos that go on Twitch. Also, we post them up on YouTube. So if you want to watch me and watch my screen, in some cases, one like this week where I'm showing my Star Sapphire tournament game and going over that so that you can look at it. I'm hoping that you will enjoy it. And of course, if you want to follow me, if you want to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll reach me via Twitter. Just go to sfuoncall. That's the account there. And my personal account is Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-A-N-Z, with my company account, Franz Games. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. There's new ones, Warehouse 23, Drive-Thru, RPG, and War Game Vault. This week is Distant Armada Unity. And for those who have previously purchased Distant Armada in the previous incarnation, you should have gotten a nice little notice saying Unity is now available for free as a free download. Obviously, one thing I need to do is I need to go buy the Unity editions of all of the books because I like having the physical copies. Steve Cole was busy working on the Foley Master Starship book, you know, the art for that, Shapeways and other projects. Steve Petrick, of course, also has been busy on the Foley Master Starship book and also miscellaneous SFB updates. Gene was busy working on the text catalog and product updates list, also, of course, managing Facebook and Twitter and making sure that the spam assault on BBS is kept down. Moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, the Sapphire Star Tournament, eight of the round one games are now completed, including my own, which I'm going to review tonight with you folks. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, I would also recommend you go to the YouTube link or go to twit.tv. I'm pretty sure that they cache the video for a little bit of time, and then it goes bye-bye because of I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if I even paid. I'm a non-paying member at the moment. I use a free account there. Moving onward to the library report, not much happening there. No progress for the library. Completing conversion still is 2,522. We have to be converted 799% complete at 75.94%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got Andrew Kalanonik on in the chat room, and we have Dave, who's a constant fixture in the chat room. Most 99% of the time, he's there. He's going to be there this week also. Just to let you know, for those that are listening in on this podcast, that you might want to either jump over to YouTube after the recording of this, or if you're listening to this live, it would be best if you actually go over to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you will be able to watch the video, because what I'm going to be doing tonight is a review of my Star Sapphire 3. I forget which. I think I got it backwards because I think it's Star Sapphire 3. And I wrote it up as Sapphire Star 3. In fact, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so I'm going to be going over my game that which I just played this week. Obviously, if you're going to be you want some insights into me, that'd be great. That's fine. Obviously, the one thing that is going to be quite interesting, the way I see it, is that my opponent gets to review the game as you know I played, and obviously I will probably I'll do my best, and I'll post this up actually on the discussion board this week. You know, after I get the YouTube post up to YouTube and have that process, so that you can actually watch it and listen to it and hear my own thoughts on my own game. Most of it is a review of what I was thinking there, obviously, but obviously in some cases it's going to be a reflection of this was a bad thing. And I'll recognize it at this later moment in time. So as I say, you know, vision is always... Your vision is always 20/20. I forget. Basically, when you're looking back on things, your vision is 20/20. I forget the exact phrasing of that. But okay, just checking my mic, making sure that my mic is actually broadcasting. Because if it's not broadcasting, we are in a big trouble here. Okay, and Twitch is up. Just in case for those people who can't hear this, because according to Dave, he can't hear it at the moment. So let's start the video, shall we? Okay. So this is the beginning of the game. Droid was just wondering about whether, and we were playing, he was playing Lyran or Aux. I know it was Lyran. And this is me just doing a quick setup. Actually, I'm going to do this. The playback is just going a little too fast this time. I'm going to tone it down just a tad bit. See, that might help. I figured, given against the Lyran, I have absolutely no... seeking weapons, nothing to distract him at all. The closest thing is really shuttles, but even that is not really a distraction because of it's not going to stop him from moving towards me. So that means I have to have. I figured this was one of those times where my particle cannons are not up, not maxed up to five. And therefore, holding for 2.5, but I'm putting that extra energy into speed. And I figured the first turn, the best approach is to run at him. Basically, take command of the center of the board. That was my goal. Now, that goal was achieved, but he also did something which is completely unexpected. I'm shocked that droid did this, but he did, and you will see it in just a moment. Right now, this is me, I'm allocating, normal shields. What it is, I did a speed plot of what was it? I think it was 24/30. Just give me a second. Now this is me. Thinking through it, okay. Oh, yeah, it was 30/24. That's what I was going to do. And, here's my, 1.5 per particle cannon. And, I got my two suicide shuttles because suicide shuttles are always good because, in this scenario, mainly because of I can, with the suicide shuttles, I can use that if we're ever getting to a dogfight situation. So I figured that's a good thing, did the good old, discharge 5 for charge 5, which means I have 5 warp available. I'd use an impulse, which is always something you remember, always, when you're, especially with your, if you are, if you have a movement cost of one, it is important that you use one point of energy for impulse, because that makes the, okay, the one thing that it makes a difference on is it makes a difference on tractor, and you'll see what happens, because actually that's one thing that happens later on in the game. And this is housekeeping here, which is who's going to run it. We announce our, he announced his speed, a speed, starting speed of 20. I start mine 30. So we, the first, actually the first turn we zipped on by pretty quick. But if, okay, let me just note this right now, which is, if you see it here, at the beginning of turn one, what did the Laren do? Droid, you know, flying the Laren, he went for a corner dodge. My guess, the reason why he did corner dodge is that he was topping off his capacitors. Because if I recall correctly, when it comes to the Laren, they don't start with five in their capacitor, weapon status three. I might be wrong on that, but that might be truly the case. So, okay, we already got the five. Okay. See, I'm coming straight into the center of the board. Keeps on going. Very soon he's going to be turning. There it is. He turned. And then he turned right after I turned in, because I figured, okay, when it comes to turn one, we're going to get through turn one really, really fast. Because we're already at impulse 21, and we've only gotten into like five, ten minutes into the game. And I keep on pausing, so. But anyway, if you notice down here, we've only gone through 11 minutes of the actual game itself online. But if you know, the one thing I had, reason why I had to turn in here was because if I keep going straight, then what I'm going to end up is I'm going to be up ending up around this area, which is not where I want. I want to be near the center of the board. That gives me the ability to turn and run. Obviously, he gave me a perfect opportunity to do what I wanted to do, which was to get enough range to run. The idea being that I could hit him and then run, because I wanted to try to avoid getting hit by the ESGs. And I figured that was my best chance is high speed and lots of leg room. Yeah, my announcement. The 24 on impulse 24. I'm still moving ahead of him. That's one thing to note, that he's turn mode C. I'm turn mode D. I don't think there's ever a turn where we actually are moving at the same speed. Maybe some minor issue with this, and actually I think there was later on there was actually a bug which caused some issues. You know, we did a quick reminder of my weapons that I had shield crackers, web breaker / shield crackers. They charge for two, they hold for zero. They're not exactly the best when it comes to hit, but at the same time, they'll do 4 points of damage. The problem is Two things. Let me just remind her of the shield crackers. Two things about that. Number one, they fire during shields. Activate, lowering and dropping and raising of shields. That's when they fire, is during that segment. So that means they can hit the reinforcement or hit the shield, and then you're good. You know, you go, oh, that's where the reinforcement is. The question is, at that point, do you continue going on? Because in theory, if you really wanted to go a good old dink, dink, just to look for shield reinforcement, you can do that. You could fire one and do it that way. Obviously, if you don't hit anything, you're in trouble. You know, you want to go wait for the next impulse? Well, you might just miss your opportunity. So, that's one of those things about the shield cracker. Okay, next thing I just explained was the PCs, where the PCs, they can hold up to 5 points of energy. They can start the game with up to 5 points of energy, because we're starting web status 3. And I have to put half the energy that's in the capacitor to hold the other half of the energy. It's crazy. But the great thing about capacitors is that, as you see, 3 points of to shoot overload, 2 for standard, and 1 point of energy for firing the second standard in the same turn. I think it's like basically the same function. So the thing is, I wrote this up. Took me longer to write this than Droid to write his. So it's like, he fires his, this is impulse 25, hits with 2 of them, gets me for 6, plunks me for 6 on, this is where I had to figure out what shield it was, which was shield number 1. So this is where he plunks my shield number 1. It's like, okay, fine. As I didn't put anything to reinforcement, I put everything into speed, because I felt like I needed to put it into speed. Then he turns in. This is where things. If he wanted to turn in, I would have turned in, but he turned in. So I kept on going, and okay, so he changes on impulse 27, he changes speed to 26. So at that point, he's actually faster than I am, and then he forgets. He says, oh yeah, I forgot that you're actually going slower, means I get to move second. Give me a sec here, guys. Just want to do one quick check. Hindsight is 20/20. Yes. Thank you, Andrew. You can hear now that. Okay, I just want to see if there's any chat room on TalkShoe to see if there's anything there. But we're going to continue on. We're in pulse 31. And our range is range 6 at this point. And that was actually something interesting. Now, this is where I'm firing my 3 shield crackers. He announces ESGs. And that's fine. And Yeah, I get to fire my three shield crackers. I'm throwing shield crackers. Unfortunately, we roll a 6, 4, and 5, and I totally miss at range 6 because it's a 50%. I need a 1, 2, or 3. So I was like, okay, fine. I did a minor little thing for I quote unquote fired them again, and that's just mainly for tracking purposes, so that the client knows that they were fired, and a reminder to me of when they fired. And also, I fired 4 overloaded particle cannons. This is where, guys, okay, interesting. I rolled a 1, 3, 1, 1, which I hit with all of them. It gets me 24 points of damage on a shield number 2, which is awesome. And he said that it defies the odd. But if you really think about it, which is what I was thinking, which is that for all 7 rolls, which were all 50% rolls, it's around 50%. You know, yes, for the particle cannons, if you're focused just on them, then all you see is the hit with all 4. But no, you know, if you think about overall the die rolls, it's 50%. Then he turns, and this is when I turn away, because of at this point it's time for me to run, because I fired. Obviously, at this point, since you know it, I have no particle cannons. They are now drained, and they did a nice, good job. They did exactly what I wanted them to do, which was to hit. And then he fires 6 phaser ones. This is one of those ones that... he didn't do too well, especially because the range is 6. He rolled 1 and then 5 fives. So he got all of 9 points of damage against my shield. Now, given that at range 6, firing your phaser ones, not exactly the best, but, you know, I'm sure he just wanted to fire him just to fire him. Because at this point, actually, he has 2 shields that are damaged, which is in some aspects, it's a good thing. The question is, of course, you always are debating, always kind of balancing whether you're going to be firing or you're going to hold and save your energy, for especially when it comes to phaser capacitors, that's energy that you have to recharge versus, you know, anyone recharging really, but the phaser you use the most. So trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I actually decide to use the same amount of energy, which was 2 suicide shuttles. Then I slowed down to speed 28. The reason why I slowed down to speed 28 is that just in case I wanted to HET. Though I go from speed 28 to speed 24. So, you know, in either case, I can HET. Given that the Celtorian has hot warp, has 32 points of warp, it can still hit at speed 28. And that's why I didn't want to go 30. I wanted to go speed 28. Yeah, he was supposed to, as is noting about the ESG, he notes that he put the ESG counters up now. It's like, yeah, I actually should have done that last impulse when he activated them. That's when he should have put them out, and it's my fault that I didn't. I finished up my energy. Don't mind me. At this point, what I'm doing is I'm looking up the tournament, and then what I wanted to find out was of bays, that I have only 1 shuttle bay, and he has two bays. This makes a big difference when it comes to suicide shuttles. You know, he can launch two suicide shuttles at one time, and I only can launch them one at a time. So that makes a big difference when it comes to dogfights. At the very least, when you're very, very close. Okay. And the whole object of this turn is, especially, I know that his ESG is going to be coming up this turn. So what I have to do is basically run. My whole goal of this entire turn is to keep outside of range 4. So outside of range 4, because range 4, you're getting close to it. But this is range, because then he announces ESGs on impulse 23, and what happens? They announce the range 3. Big surprise. He doesn't plan on coming in nice and close. He wants to close. Now, he started speed 26. I started speed 28. We're already on impulse 7. We went zippy through that. We're both going direction D. He's running and I'm running. And I'm doing my best to stay. Also, I want to stay out of range 5 because of, obviously, at range 5, his phasers get much better. And he has 8 phasers. 8 phaser ones if he centerlines me. Yeah. He's got 2, 2. There'd be 2, 2, 2, and 2. 2 right side, 2 left side, and then 2 are 4. Yeah, 2 forward arc right, 2 forward arc left. So. Yeah. He said, I'm catching up. Yeah, for a moment you're catching up. This is where things go wonky. And I think there's a bug in the client. And which is, he's at speed 26. The thing is, he even did a mid-turn speed change to speed 30 back on impulse 10 is when he changed. I'm not sure he changed it per se. Yeah, I'm not sure. Thing is, I'm assuming he did it earlier in the turn. To make it a speed change to 30 because of, I'm assuming he didn't do it on impulse 10, because otherwise he'd do it and announce it. So then the bug that he's seeing, which is he did an acceleration, he changed the speed plot, and got the range 10. Now, what that means is basically we're on impulse 12. So I got a little confused here. So I did an undo move on twice when we got back to get us back to impulse 10 when it comes to movement. So right. Which is, and that makes sense. That's critical in this case, because if you noticed, for those who are actually on video feed, on impulse 11, he does not move. Because he does not move on impulse 11, or wouldn't be moving on impulse 11, I sideslip right into the same center line for him. But it was going to be center line on range 6. The idea is that I could cross in front of him, still maintain range 6, and go by and say bye bye, But no, got screwed up and actually had a midterm speed change at speed 30, announcing on 10. So in other words, that is a bad thing to do overall, which is, you know, because that means it gets range 5. Range 5 center line is not a good idea because there's 8 phaser ones that could hit me. Because at this moment in time, I don't know what he has. I don't know if he has any disruptors. If he doesn't charge any disruptors, it discharges his phasers. He can fire every single phaser he's got. Now, that's one thing I might have to relook at his EA, because more I think about it now, I did some calculations, and for the most part, what was my calculations? Yeah, because he moves 29 impulses for the turn, and then there was, of course, the 4 for housekeeping. Then there was like 4 for disruptors, because you can fire 2 disruptors. There's a tractor beam that's coming later on, and then, you know, I'm calculating this all. I'm going, you know, does he have all the energy to do everything that he has? And of course, the thing is, he's got 45 points of energy that he could use. So overall, you know, yeah, the answer is yes. That's one thing I'd have to look up, which is he starts with 7 capacitors, right? No, that's 9. 9 in the phaser capacitor. He fires 6. That means he has 3 points of energy left in his capacitor. Then I know he actually, if I looked at his EA, he actually recharged his phasers as part of his turn. I think he might have charged all 6. So anyway, moving on. We're up to impulse 13 at this point. He's still at range 6, offline, off center by 1. And he puts up, okay, we're going to do a quick discussion here about the rings, because the client actually supports having rings. I did not do a sync to see his rings. There looks like there might be a minor bug. So I told him to send me a feedback report to, you know, see what's going on with the rings, because it's possible that he or me there's probably a bug in the client where he is unable to, you know, the rings weren't sent to me for some reason. I'm not sure why. Nobody could see the rings until does a sync. I put up rings just to see if anyone could see my rings. And okay, and you know, Mad Jack said, no, not me, and not Joy, and then I remove them. And what happened is, Mad Jack, he resynced the board, and he could see both of them. So the question was, okay, what happened? You know, so obviously there's a bug there. But anyway, moving onward, we get on to impulse 15 of turn 2. And where am I? I'm at 07:22. He is right now at 08:18. So still range 6. And he's on 1 off hex, the center of center line. You know, just checking to see where, you know, when I move next, when I move, when I don't move, when he moves. The whole idea is I didn't want him getting any closer than possible. That was my biggest concern there. Okay, this is when I took the desperate measure, because I'm running up against the board. I'm now 5 hexes away from the actual wall. So I turn in, give him a range 5 shot. And at this point, basically, he fires. I'm pretty sure on impulse 19, when I turn to direction C, yeah, he fires 2 phaser 1s, which are the left side phaser 1s, the ones on... That's interesting. I'm not sure why he fired the left side, because those are on this side. Fortunately, he rolled 2 6s, so I only got 4 points of damage on my shield number 5. no big harangue there. But he's going to, obviously, he's going to continue to chase. He's going to continue to maintain speed 30 throughout the rest of this turn. That's when I got concerned about energy, because I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about what he's firing. I'm going, he's got to be running out of power at this point, you know, later on. Because right now it's not too bad. He's got two phasers on me. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. No big deal there. Because if he didn't charge anything, then he's got 2 points of power, 2 points of capacitor, which he used up. At this point, I'm moving. I'm moving direction C towards the barrier. He's still coming direction D directly towards me. Impulse 22 is still at range 5. This is, you know, he's trying to stay on shield number 4, which is fine, because of actually shield number 4 is actually one of my better shields, because he already pinned it, you know, pinged it both this turn and that and last turn, my two rear shields. So I think that's right. So I do a speed change to speed 25, because I didn't want to use up more than the 28 points of power that I've been of movement. Power slash movement that I used last turn, because I just kept it the same. Only charged 2 of my particle cannons, you know, so it's all the same. I didn't fire any phasers, so I'm fine there. And this is why I had to think about it, because this is impulse number 24. This is where I went, you know, what I should be doing at this point, and I probably should have been doing all along, which was throwing shuttles out of my, well, actually, at this point, I guess the one thing that I was hoping for was that he would slow down, and he didn't. We're in impulse 25, and he has not slowed down yet. So at this point, I've come to the conclusion that he's going to actually hit me with his ESG. And if he hits me with his ESG, I've got to decrease the amount of damage that ESG is going to do when it hits me. So the only way to do that is launch shuttles. Just throw them, you know, check them out the back. This is where, you know, launch one of my man shuttles, speed 5. The reason I want speed 5 is I wanted to make sure they moved next impulse, so that it guarantees that he would hit them. Now, you know, I don't think there was any reason for him to avoid them at this point, because to avoid hitting my shuttle, just to avoid taking 6 points of damage on his ESG, so overall, it's not such a great idea, because that means he's going to move away from me, and that might give me an extra turn to charge things up before he actually hits me. Yeah, this is where he has to think. Oh yeah, he's thinking because of his shield 2. Okay. Now, let me wait for this for a moment. There, okay. This is where I'm going to pause for a moment on the game. I'm not going to pause the podcast. And that is that at this point in the game, I'm doing my desperate. I thought. Is there a way that I can get my butt turned around so that I can hit him with my particle cannons with all my phasers. That's what I'm thinking. And I keep on thinking about, there's only one way of I can even have a chance, even have a tiny bit of a chance of him of actually hitting on a shield number two. And even then, I'm still going to get walloped. And that is, I have my hit available, so I was going to hit. So, whoops. No, that was weird. I must have done something goofy. Actually, it's... Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. Nope. Okay, I was wondering about that. But anyway, I was thinking about for this is if I head this direction, then he can sideslip here. I mean, he can sideslip here, but even if he sideslips, I still get four phasers on that shield number two, which has only six boxes. Now, that might have enough to knock down his shield. But, you know, at that point, I'm stuck. I'm truly, truly stuck. Because I can't get my particle cannons to face, and he's gonna hit me. And I need to have a good wallop on him. You know, when it comes to I figure I need to get all my phasers to hit him. Now, you know, so that's why it's like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the hit to here anytime. Because I got him now. So if I do this, he cannot do like a hit to this to protect his shield. He could not do that. That was the one benefit I had for I could do that. But I could not do a hit this way and guarantee that shield without taking a lot of damage. Whereas, you know, so, you know, I figured because I'm trying to get it so that I can get to shield number two, basically hit and get the shield number two. I don't want to have to wait because in theory, I'm thinking about it now, if I would have headed directly towards him after my shuttles go out, okay, let's continue watching this. Because at this point, you know, okay, I make sure that I'm not moving my shuttle. At the same time, I'm moving because it doesn't move. But, you know, it's range four. The idea was that speed five, it can move as fast as soon as possible. You know, it couldn't move next impulse, could move the impulse after that. And then he's okay. He decided not to fire. I'm assuming that's what he was thinking about. And this time, okay, I move directly forward. The shuttle moves directly forward, so he's going to hit the ESG. So the ESG is going to be decreased by 6 points. Yeah, and then I move. I move straight ahead. Nice. I sideslip towards him. So he hits my shield. I sideslip towards him. We're now range four. At this point, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to launch another shuttle. So it hits his ESG. And after these two shuttles hit his ESG, now it's down to 18. Yeah, between the two ESGs. Yeah. This is where things get interesting. Okay, we both have to watch it because I don't quite remember exactly how I moved at this point. Yeah, he hits me with 18 in the rear. So I'm down to 6 points of six boxes in the rear shield. Right. This was it. At range three. He hits me. I think, if I recall correctly, he fires. This is one of those critical things when it comes to that I'm now, well, my action will cause an immediate reaction because he only has one possibility to do. And I said, no, I'm not going to be doing anything. And that's for good reason. He fires two standard mode disruptors and four phaser ones. And he does quite well. Eight from the two standard disruptors and then 20 from his phasers. So basically, on shield number four, I got, 18 plus 28. So the total of 46 points of damage on a 24 shield. So I reinforced the shield, but still, he got 22 internals. Overall, not too bad. You know, he took out two phaser threes and a particle cannon. You know, and of course some power. I'm at this point, there's only one choice, and that's it. Okay, this is where I'm still not sure how this got to be like that. I'm not sure where it thinks I actually used 1 point of energy for anything. I didn't use any reserve power at all anyway, and you could see it. I never put one. I used the same amount of power, so I'm not sure what was going on there. But anyway, I hit, and then this is where he thinks, and it's like, okay, at this moment in time, basically, the Liren droid has no options. If he goes here and goes straight, I'm off his shield number two. Nice hit, you know, damage shield. I'll do quite a bit of damage. Yes, I only get six phaser ones and two overloaded particle cannons at him, but I'll do a good bit. Now you can size up out here. You can get range two, but still, it's going to be on that weak shield. That gives him only one possibility, which is slice up here, get center line, giving me the biggest whopping opportunity to actually fire at him. Now, here's the problem, and you'll see this in just a moment. Okay, give me a sec here. There it goes. Help moment there that the VLC was taking a little bit of time to get going. Okay. And we're just waiting for a moment. At this point, I forget what happens. I know what happens. I do a. Oh boy. Let's wait for a moment, people. Okay. Just wait for a moment. I'm going to do this. Let me do this. I'm going to quit VLC. I'm going to bring this back up. Okay. Okay. And let's bring up this one again. Okay, let's go. It was. Okay, let's continue. Right there and there. Oh. Come on. Okay, back to normal. Okay, maybe I'm going to try this instead. Give me a sec. VLC seems to be going wonky when it comes to that. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring up QuickTime Player. I think I can. This will be fine at this point. The one thing I liked about the other one was that I can not that. Okay. Oh boy. Okay, okay. Don't mind me. It's having issues. Okay. But I think I might have to do. Red. Okay. Hold on for a moment. Check on something. Okay, I still got quite a bit available. Okay. I thought I might be running low on space, and that doesn't seem to be the case. Might just have an crud. Okay. Okay, let's do this. Force quit. Let's force quit that. Okay, not sure what's going on, but I think we'll leave it at that. Unfortunately, I'm unable to continue the video portion of this podcast, you know, when it comes to showing the game. But just to let you know, what happened was that I got the center line. I blasted him at that range. Then. I was ready to blast him, but what he did, and I looked into it, and basically, he has the two shuttle bays. I actually had to go back and check his shuttle bays. He launched one manned and one suicide shuttle, is what I come to find out after I basically blew him out of the water. I had, since two of my phaser threes were already gone. Excuse me. I had to use two of my phaser ones to fire at his shuttles. I used two phaser threes to fire one shuttle, two phaser ones fired as a phaser three at another shuttle. That's one thing I, whatever. It doesn't really matter, does it? But anyway, sorry, I was thinking about something that happens in the last turn of the game, which is on turn three. But anyway, does that? I do quite a bit of damage on his ship. Unfortunately, it's shield number one, so it's a brand new shield. I only have two particle cannons, so I hit him with two particle cannons and six phasers. Give me a sec here. I just thought about something, which is I could at the very least show people, and also it might help me tremendously. Oh, wrong one. What I want is library, and then application support, and then SFU, and then logs. Okay, so that'd be, and bring up the log for the game. So at the very least, nothing better. I can at the very least look at to see where. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, this is plus 29. Right. He fired, did that. Okay. Now, okay, this here it is. Okay. At this point, he launches two shuttles here. And then he fires his two 360s onto my ship. I fired two overloaded particle cannons, and then basically six phaser ones at his ship, two phaser threes each of the shuttles. So the shuttles are dead, and I find out one was manned, one was suicide. The only reason that I can know that is, I really can't know it's manned. It can be a suicide, but it would have an explosion strength of zero. That's the key to that. That's why you have to at least do a reveal, and at the very least, if it's a pseudo suicide shuttle, then it does 0 points of damage. But it still blows over like a manned shuttle, which is fine. Same thing. At this point, really doesn't matter. Now, as far as this, and I get eight internals, a big whopping woo, eight internals. But I blow down the shield number one, so I knock out a couple warp, a phaser three, and two phaser threes. So basically, padding for the most part. And then he launches another shuttle. Because he can. So impulse, I moved, I moved to the 1529. I forget what that is on the board, whether that's, I'm pretty sure that I sideslip. Oh. And what happened is actually up here, which is, okay, before we fire, for all the lovely activity, one thing he does is this. Tractors me. At range, I have no energy for fighting the tractor, but he has 1 point of energy that he put from reserve power into tractor. And then he got me. Now, to me, that doesn't really. The only thing, the one thing that is annoying as hell is that I can, at that point, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in front of him. Now, overall, that's not such a bad thing. The reason being, because, okay, let's go here. Bah, bah. Right. Where is it? Where he fires. Right here. Okay. No. It's, bah, bah. Here it is. He fires at me. Does 8 points of damage. So my shield, my shield number one is down to 16 boxes. So I still got a pretty decent shield versus shield number four, which is completely down. Because that's one minor thing that if I would have gone, if he wouldn't have tracked me, I definitely could have kept, we would have different, he would have been behind me. I would have been behind him. Obviously, the one thing I have to make sure is my shield number four would have to make, is have to keep that out of arc. So, but you know, he wanted to keep me in front of him. This is where, you know, because he did that, it basically, it really hurt me overall because I was unable to get out of his FA arc. But he launches his other shuttle, another shuttle. Yeah, this, he had a little problem here. But that was the reason why he had problems with the shuttle going back and forth as he moved his ship is because by default, when you launch a ship, this is just the little thing with the client. But by default, that when you launch a shuttle, it's automatically selected. So if you, and since your ship is probably previously selected, when you actually click on that ship, it moves both. Because he's a click and dragger, is what he is. He doesn't use the game control where you actually can just click the buttons. He doesn't use the keyboard. You know, he clicks it, clicks and drags. He says, "I'm a pointing clicker," which is fine. You know, if it makes it feel more realistic to him. Big surprise at the beginning of turn three. That ends turn three. None of us have any end of turn activity. You know, I thought he might because he might want to repair his shield, but he didn't. Okay, he dropped his tractor, and then he launches one shuttle, an additional shuttle. ID shuttle number two, which is. Yeah, I ID the shuttle and I get him, and basically it's a manned shuttle. And then I launch both my suicide shuttles at him. Here and up here. So I launched my two suicide shells at him. And then he fires four overloaded photons after, okay. Unfortunately, I really wish I had the video for this, because what happened is that he's okay, we're still facing each other. So impulse two, what I do is here, I change my facing to facing A. So now he's off my shield number six. Now, here's the one thing. On turn three, what do? I allocate 17 points of power to my shield number one so that, you know, I have a decent shield when he blasts away at me. Because I figure that's what it's going to do. But what happens? No, he holds. Not know me being an idiot. At this point, what I should have realized is that he couldn't fire his disruptors until impulse 28. I mean, impulse four, because he fired impulse 28. I didn't realize this. I did not think about this at the time. So that's why it's like, okay, he's gonna fire shield number one. I got to reinforce shield number one. So that's what I did. 17 points. Now, the problem with putting that much power into shield number one, I have no weapons. No, not a single one charged. which is fine because I'm not sure how much they would help me later on, which is because, where is it? Da-da-da. I fired my particle cannons back here on impulse number 29. So that means I couldn't, he fires his on impulse 4. That's after basically I knew midterm speed change on, I announced it on 3, it goes on 4. So now range 1 off my shield number 5, which is no big deal in my mind because it's still a relatively good shield. So he fires, hits with 3 of his disruptors for 30 points of damage because we're still range 1. And he fires 1 phaser 3. One phaser 1. Actually, he said he didn't fire that. I was like, I was waiting for him to roll. Come on, okay, I'm rolling. Wait, gonna roll your phaser 1. And he's like, what phaser 1? He had selected phaser 1 to fire. It's like, oh, well. And he said, basically, he meant to fire that at the shuttle is what he planned on firing at. And obviously, he didn't correctly target it, to say the very least. And then I do a, you know, he finds out that, oh, yeah, one of my shells is suicide, you know, and then, he fires, he gets internals on me, rear hell, an impulse, bridge, battery, and phaser 1. Then he fires 3 more phasers for some more Mizzy effects, does some more damage. And he asked me if I wanted to fire shell for him. I said nope, basically because of, at least in my mind, I didn't have any phasers because of the client is not that smart about that. And I didn't correct it. Which is, in theory, it says I have 2 points of power. No, I don't have 2 points of power into my, I don't have 2 points of power for my phaser capacitor. I have 1 point of power. Which actually, now that I think about it, I could have, could I? I mean, look, this is impulse. I mean, look. Directing on the shuttle. And then. Right, does that. Right, I could have avoided all this damage here, which is 18 points of damage. That he did to finish me off. So I had 1 point of power, so I could have fended that off. The only question at that point is, what he's got all this power. What is he doing with it? He hasn't even fired every single weapon he has. So he could have probably done at least another 12 points of damage to me. So overall, you know, Even if I would have knocked out the suicide shuttle, you know, I probably still would have lost. So at this point, you know, I got this 18 internals from the suicide shuttle because I didn't think I had the power for firing my phasers. You know, these little things that added up on this game to bite me in the butt. And, you know, and game over at that point. I conceded the game after that. And it was not, to say the least, not the greatest game in the world. So, you know, sorry I wasn't able to show you the last bit of the video because of it's, I'm not sure if there's something wrong with the video or just something wrong with my machine. It might be because I'm having OBS running at the same time that I'm doing this, and that might be the big issue there. But anyhow, with that, I will wrap it up for this night. I hope you enjoyed my little review of my game. Obviously, the last part wasn't nearly quite as interesting because you didn't get to see the ships. obviously I did make some mistakes. Some of those, you know, I think about two things at the moment. Number one, I could have gotten the suicide shuttle. I could have done that. The big question I have for myself is if I would have, Andrew. If I would have fired, if I would have headed back earlier when he had a full strength ESG and plowed through his ESGs, 30 points of power, 30 points of damage, which, and then he had him wallop me at that point, would that have been such a good move? Would that have been a better move than what I did? I'm not sure. You know, because I was able to, using my shuttles, I was able to decrease the amount of damage to ESGs. Now, the one thing that was a biggie for me is that he kept up at speed 30. And I was berating myself earlier, you know, when I was thinking it during the game, that, you know, when I turned in, it's like I probably should have been launching my shuttles before this, you know. But the thing is that I didn't think he would maintain speed 30 throughout the rest of the turn. That ended up being 29 points of power to that. So the question is, you know, for me is, you know, if I would have dumped out, let's say, all my shells, including my suicides. So I just, okay, I'm going to just decrease his ESG down to the minimum blank. I don't, my suicide shells, they can go. So basically, his ESGs will be down to 6. Obviously, at that point, well, I could have easily headed. And I could have gotten a shield number 2 without that much damage. Now, obviously, I would have to be doing it quite early because it would take me 8 impulses to launch all those shuttles. And the thing is, after I would have knocked it down to 6, he probably would have dropped the ESG, would be my guess. I don't think keeping up for 6 points of damage is that good of an idea, while he could have the ESGs back up and running earlier if he just drops them 6 points down, you know, just drops it completely. But you know, overall, that I, at this point in time, that my guess is that would have been my better thing to do. When I'm thinking back, is just dump out all my shuttles. As I said, the one key thing is that I didn't know he was going to keep up speed 30. Now, after we got to later where he turned in, and I probably should have guessed at that point that he was going to keep speed 30 going. At that point I should have just started dumping out the shuttles and try to soak up that ESG, because that was the only, basically he was using the ESG as mobile terrain, forcing me to go things because the thing is, if I can get rid of that weapon, if I can get rid of the ESG, so it does not do me any harm, doesn't do hardly any damage to me, then I've got a lead on that. I'm much better off, especially given that I had his shield number 2 down, so that he would have been trying to run away at that point, in which case gives me the better tactical advantage. So overall, I think that was my biggest mistake there, was just the shuttles, not just dumping them out, throwing them out as soon as I turned. Maybe even before that, because of after you did a midterm speed change to speed 30, you know, I probably should have just let it go. Realized at that point that he was going to probably maintain the speed 30 and then start dumping out, you know, throwing out the shuttles, so because he wants to hit me with those things, you know, and just keep it going. You know, obviously at some point he might actually just drop it before I launch all of them, but I think I'd have to launch every single one, have every single one hit a ZSG to do that. So I think that right there, that was my biggest tactical mistake, was not doing that. Which leads me to, of course, the question is, what ship will I fly next? Will I go for the TKE maybe next tournament? Will I go for the Saltorian? Will I, just for giggles, just for fun, fly the Andromedan? Because I have not done that for a long time. The biggest issue, obviously, with the Andromedan is that currently it has two TRLs. Maybe I could convince Steve Petrick that maybe he can upgrade that just a tiny bit. Maybe, please, maybe. Yeah, that, or at least maybe get some practice games in with the Andromeda and maybe convince him, you know, show the records and so forth so that he can see what happened and that it's basically, it is a nerfed ship and it can't be played. And I think overall, most people are happy that the Andromeda is nerfed. I am not. You know, I like playing the Saltorian too, but I really wish I could fly the Andromeda and have a chance of winning a tournament. So I think I will leave it with that. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.